Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Do you have a heavy metal-related business? Do you promote concerts? Do you sell t-shirts, music, instruments, alternative lifestyle products? Then come advertise with us. Radioactive Metal is the perfect place to promote your business. Go to advertisecast.com/780 to see all of our advertising options.
Hi, my name is Luca Indrio from Oakland, California, representing Necrot, and you're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. Horns up! This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a Necrotin episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 464, and I'm Snowy White.
I'm Rock.
And I'm Aaron.
Hey, dudes, what's going on?
Necrotin?
It's a Necrotin episode. What? Because of our kind of in honor of tonight's creature feature, Necrot.
Is that a word?
No.
Necrotin?
Well, it is now.
Okay.
It is now. Hey, when Snowy says it, it becomes fact, regardless of what it is.
Okay.
I just invented a new word. I have no idea what it means, but it sounds kick-ass.
That happens a lot.
We're just going to go with it.
Because you live in your own little world, and you got your own little language.
Yeah. You know what? I should come up with a book or a blog or something, like, you know, Snowyisms.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have
oh
to
my goodness.
Say, I'm gonna
we should totally do that. It's like a Twitter feature, like once a week or something.
To this week's Snowyism, Necrotin.
There we go. It's Necrotin, yeah. Totally in honor of tonight's creature feature, kick-ass band. Necrot, that from the Bay Area, some brutal death. They're starting their tour off today as we speak.
Yep.
So that's fucking awesome. But I'm not going to get into it too much because we're going to let, you know, a member of the band himself do all of the talking, and I want to hear some talking out of you guys. What's going on?
Well, I've been traveling, man. Okay. I was down in Florida this past week. I was at a bunch of good places to eat because I was down there for work, getting some training. But as I like to try to convince people, you only have to put in your, you know, certain time of the day. You don't have to work 24/7. So make sure you get out and see the sights. So I actually went to a Sam Ash Music. So I was checking out some guitar pedals and stuff. And I went there. Yesterday is my second time there, you know, because I don't have one of those near me. And they actually, I went up, I said, hey, you know, can we try some pedals? And the guy looks at me, looks at his watch, he's like, man, we only got 15 minutes left.
Oh, whoa.
Because they closed at 8, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I left.
Oh,
that's
yeah, it was a bummer. Yeah, I did. But you know what? There's worse things. Like, I was mad about it, so I tweeted it, and I forgot about it, and they actually contacted me. So they're trying to make things right.
How? You just want to try pedals.
The biggest thing is I just want to make sure that sort of thing doesn't happen. Because, I mean, people talk about, oh, the internet's killing brick and mortar. The internet's killing brick and mortar. I want to go to a brick and mortar store first. What's killing it is the jerks that work there.
Oh,
you know. So that's my thoughts. I make it so your staff actually like cares and wants to talk to you about this stuff. Like,
well, no, he wanted to go home. That's more important than the potential sale.
I worked retail for 10 years, and I cannot tell you how many times I stayed an hour past close because I had people in the store.
Yeah, but is it cool people?
Oh, no. They were tire kickers. They just walked around everything. We were never allowed to kick them out or any of that sort of stuff. So when he's telling me, oh, I only got 15 minutes, bite me.
Okay, because there was more than one night, like when I'm trying to close down the old Warren Music Record Shop, but there's still some cool people in there and we're talking and all that. I'm not looking at my watch. I'm not, come on, get the fuck out of here. No way, man. Like, you, little different story for you, though, I guess.
Slightly, yeah.
So I'm just curious, what did you tweet?
Yeah. Oh, I just tweeted exactly what I said to you guys. I just put in like, hey, at Sam Ash, went to Tri Pedals tonight and I was greeted by a guy sighing, looking at his watch and saying we only got 15 minutes left.
Oh, okay. No wonder they replied.
Yeah.
Hopefully that guy got reprimanded.
You know, it really irritated me, man. Because, I mean, like, you know, like, I get it. Everybody wants to go home. But I have yet to work a job where I've ever gotten to leave on time. And, I mean, this is since I started. Like, I mean, when I worked fast food, there was no set closing time. It was what time you were done. So the faster you work, the better it went. If you worked with somebody who was lazy, you had to pick up the slack. Like, mm-hmm. Or sometimes stuff just blew up and broke and you were there till 2 or 3 in the morning. You know, even with my current job, I leave when I'm done. I, you know, yes, it's around this time, but not always.
Yep.
You know, so this, well, I gotta get out of here. Whatever, man. Like, must be nice.
Yeah, well, I bet you he was early 20s and figured he had something better to do.
Actually, no, I think he was my age or older.
Oh.
Holy shit. Wow, is he ever old?
Yeah. Oh,
shit.
Wow. That took me a second. Thanks, Harris. No, thanks. Thanks, buddy.
He had nowhere to go at that age.
Okay. You're a jerk.
I am. Which all this kind of reminds me, speaking of jobs and all that, and we're going to get to our metal fix right away. But I found out today, coincidentally, today as we speak, this is my 8th anniversary at my money job. And I was told that, and I'm like, really? I've been here 8 fucking years. Just kill me. Just kill me now.
Did they make you a cake?
Of course not.
It should have totally made you a cake.
I have a feeling Snowy doesn't like his job.
Well,
I think he loves it.
It's good fodder for this show. Trust me. Trust me. There's been more than one night where it's like, or just going out to shows in general afterwards, it's like, okay, I'm doing this job, and for the most part, it's not killer or anything, but it's just, okay, I'd rather be somewhere else, and I'm just here to pay the bills, and it just makes coming on here right now and going out to a show and catching up with my homies and all that, it just makes it all the more gratifying. So hey, you can't go wrong with that, I guess.
True. Before we go on to our metal fix, I just remembered something that happened earlier this week. I'm not going to go into details as to where I was because we're going to get into that in our metal fix. But at one point, I got a call from my daughter, right? And she currently is using my old cell phone, okay? And that cell phone has a radioactive metal protective case on it.
Okay.
It's got the radioactive metal logo on it. And so she calls me. She said, hey, Dad, you won't believe what just happened. And so she told me she was on the phone with her mom. She was at Target. She was on the phone with her mom. And some guy was kind of staring at her. And she's like, okay, I don't know what's going on here. And then when she hung up, the guy came up to her and says, hey, radioactive metal, I saw the logo on the phone. Are you on that show? And she goes, no, but that's my dad. He's like, oh, that's so cool. He says, I listen to the show.
Oh, wow, right on.
So, yeah, so she did not get the name of the guy. So, man, if you're listening right now and you, I don't know, send us an email, send us a message on Facebook or whatever, let us know who you are. I want to say horns up to you and thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah,
major horns up, man.
Yeah.
Maybe he was thinking that your daughter was Korean.
That could be. Yeah.
Our missing co-host is, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, he probably thought it was Korean.
Right on. You know what? It's those little things like that that just make doing this show just, you know, that much better. That is absolutely awesome.
Yep.
Wander the streets living intense metal lives. Find out what we did in The Metal Fix.
Okay, guys, someone talk to me about some metal.
All right, so, Aaron, who's doing the honors? Because we have a joint metal fix. That's
oh. Why don't you kick it off?
Okay, it's also we're missing the third part of this metal fix. Corinne is not here with us tonight, but she is part of this too. This past Sunday, as we speak, on June 25th, 2017, three quarters of Radioactive Metal finally met for the first time in person.
Oh, who were they? Who are those two?
Well, it wasn't you, motherfucker.
Don't!
Well, me and Corinne, you know, we've known each other for years now. But Aaron, as he was mentioning, he came down for work to Tampa, but he made a special trip to come and meet us at Universal Studios. So,
right on.
So, yeah, so, man, we had a blast. We had a blast. It was so much fun.
Oh, it was a great time.
Yes.
Yeah, so and Snowy.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Snowy, I really needed your backup because, as you may or may not know, Universal has like two different Harry Potter worlds. And okay. Apparently, Snowy, I was surrounded by muggles.
No doubt.
Apparently.
It's Snowy, like neither Rock nor Corinne knows anything about the Harry Potter stuff.
How is that possible?
That's what I kept asking the entire time we were there.
That's like going through life and not knowing anything about Star Wars. Like that just doesn't compute.
I know about a little bit about Star Wars. I know about the first three movies. I don't care about the rest.
Well, those are the important ones, so you're okay there.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care at all about Harry Potter, but the rides are fun.
Well, that's good.
But I was just going to say, Corinne is the one who secured the tickets for us. Mm-hmm. And Aaron, you had your coworker with you, John.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had a blast, man. Just going on some rides and walking around and being stupid and.
Right on.
You know, going to the Simpsons Village, whatever they call it, Simpsons Town, Springfield, whatever. Yeah. And just checking out all that cool stuff. And Aaron and I, we ate at Mel's Diner.
That was cool.
Mel's Diner.
Yep. While Corinne and Mr. Corinne was also with us. They ate some turkey legs in Springfield, whatever. So
sorry, I have to go back to this Mel's Diner. Was that inspired by anything in particular? Or
so the TV show Alice. Remember that TV show?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was getting at.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Oh,
I know, right? Oh, dude, you would have loved this.
Oh, yes. Holy shit. Oh, because when you said Mel's Diner, I'm like, no, it can't be like a replica or inspired by the Mel's Diner.
Mm-hmm.
It sure was. My God. That's awesome.
Yep,
you wouldn't get me out of there. I would be looking all over for Alice and Dingbat. And Mel and I would
well,
be, yeah.
The thing that gets you out of there is the overpriced burgers.
Oh yeah.
God, that was expensive. Woo. Jeez, okay, I'm pro.
it's when you order one of those diet waters. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, our metal fix, you know, that was just having fun all day and going on rides and me ignoring everything Harry Potter that Aaron was trying to teach me. And
I was just going off. I'm like, dude, this and that. And they're just looking at me like I've got two heads.
You look like a funny kid. Part.
I was like a kid. I was so excited.
I would have been too. And yeah, and if myself, Mrs. White, and our daughter was there, like Harry Potter is a religion in this house. Like, so, and they're so bad. Like,
this is why I could have used you there, and you're gonna love this one. Yeah. So Snowy, so Diagon Alley. You're familiar with Diagon Alley, right? How do you get into Diagon Alley in the Harry Potter series? How do you get in?
There was a special powder that they used, kind of a spell powder into the fire pit.
That was to travel by flu. But when Hagrid takes Harry there in the first movie, in the first book, you remember how they get in? They go into the alley in London?
Through the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So check this out. So we're over in Universal. We've been to Hogsmeade in Islands of Adventure. And then we took the Hogwarts Express over to a dude. Like I seriously, I'm still a kid in a candy store. It was so much fun. So we take Hogwarts Express over to Universal. And I'm like, well, where's Diagon Alley? And like, everyone's looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, that's it. This is all the Harry Potter stuff. It's like this thing with the night bus and that's it. I'm like, no, there's more. There's somewhere. And then we see the sign that says like, hey, there's the escape from Gringotts and Corrine. I don't know how I messed that one up. So Corrine's like, oh, Escape from Gringotts. I wonder where that is. I turn, I look at the facade for London, and I'm like, wait a second. I see people going in but not coming out. And I'm like, wait a second. And I'm like, follow me. And so like we walk and dude, there's the wall that opens up, and it's like totally just like in the movie where it opens up to Diagon Alley. And you see Gringotts, and you see the dragon on top of Gringotts, you know, from the seventh movie, and just like, oh, dude. And and all of them are standing beside me like, we didn't know this was here.
Well, it's hidden.
Yeah. It is. It's hidden so well. Yeah, but I thought it was hysterical.
You,
like they had
you
no
gotta
idea
look for it. Yeah, yeah.
See, muggles. Muggles.
Yeah. Bunch of muggles in this town, yeah.
I'm not denying it. That dragon on top of the building was awesome. Oh my god, it was so well made, and it would spit fire once in a while. This giant ball of fire would come out. You're like, whoa!
Right on. Christ.
It was so cool.
Every few minutes, yeah, it was awesome.
Ride was probably my favorite ride too, because like it's like a little coaster where you go upside down, and not a lot, but you do like kind of like a somersault in it, but you're in complete darkness when it happens.
Yeah. Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
Oh my goodness, we have fun. Yeah. And then Corrine and Mr. Corrine, they basically convinced me to wait with them to go in the very front row for the what was it called? Rock? Was it the Dueling Dragons?
The Dueling Dragons, I think. The Dragon Challenge or something like that.
Dragon Challenge, maybe that was it.
So it's
but that was in Islands of Adventure, and
those are roller coasters. It's two roller coasters, there's a blue and a red, and they're supposed to be like challenging each other and stuff. So yeah, so me and your friend John, we went and we were in the third row. We got in like right away. You guys had to wait a little bit because you wanted to ride first row, but we got there and there was like nobody in front of us, and they said, "All right, third row." And John is like, "What? No, third row? That's too close to the front." I was like, "No, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. As long as we're not in the front, we'll be fine." And man, so then when you guys got off of it, were your legs like spaghetti?
So my legs weren't like spaghetti, but I could not walk a straight line.
Exactly. It's crazy.
Like, I was laughing and giggling, and like they're looking at me, they're like, what? I'm like, Rock told me I wouldn't be able to walk a straight line. This is hysterical. Like, I could not walk a straight line. Like, I didn't fall over, but like I could not just walk in a straight line. Yeah. It was great.
And you watch the people, and most of them is the same thing, because you're going upside down, sideways, you're turning. It's crazy, Snowy. You'd love it. If you like roller coasters, you'd love it.
It sounds like it.
Anyway, there's nothing metal about all this, but it was our metal fix because we got to meet.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you all were each other's metal fix, and that's kind of nice to hear. That's awesome.
And
that's
right. People and listeners can check out my Instagram at sgnl2nz to see a picture of the three of us together in front of Hogwarts. Same picture that I sent you, Snowy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and cool. Actually, I just now posted it on our Facebook page also.
Perfect.
Right on.
Yeah. Good.
Excellent, excellent.
And so, you'll notice I'm in a Rotten Sound shirt.
Yes, he's wearing his Rotten Sound shirt.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah. I'm the only one who's not wearing a metal shirt because I knew if I was wearing a black shirt, I would have been a little puddle at some point. I was wearing a golf type gray shirt that's very airy. So because it was so hot. Oh my god, it was hot.
I was gonna say yeah, Florida.
I don't think I stopped sweating till an hour after like we left the park.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like
yeah.
Not even kidding.
Oh yeah, I was sweating in the shower.
No, that's happened. That is possible. That's possible to happen.
I'm just kidding. Anyway, so we had a blast. So Snowy, what about you? What's your metal?
Excellent, excellent. Actually, you know what? Before I get on to my metal fix, I do want to acknowledge that tomorrow, as we speak, is Canada Day.
A.
It's Canada Day A up here. And just kind of to celebrate, Aaron.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me three things about Canada, nothing that you would have learned on this show. Just because.
Three things about Canada.
Yeah.
One, Martin Short's from there.
Okay.
I believe the one of the Olympics was held in Vancouver, possibly twice. In the same location, and one of the speed skaters from the States used to actually go up from Seattle to – is it Vancouver that's straight up from Seattle? Am I getting that wrong? But yeah. whatever the city is that's up there, he would go up there to practice his speed skating. That's basically where he trained was in Canada. And so I need a third thing. And well, honestly, I guess the third most important thing is the fact that I know O Canada because of hockey. Because, I mean, you know – hockey is the sport that Canada gave us all. So, you know, or that's the way I like to tell the story. So that's my Canadian knowledge for you.
Well, I think that's excellent.
I think when you do a fact check here, Snowy, was there ever Olympics in Vancouver?
There was the Winter Olympics. Yeah.
Not twice though.
Not twice, but I wasn't.
I feel like they had a really good training facility that was almost too good to not have been Olympics before. Let me check that one. Well, let me fact check.
I know that Calgary had the Winter Olympics, and in 1976 Montreal had the Summer Olympics.
But regardless, that was very impressive, Aaron. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Like that's awesome.
I was thinking you were going to say something like, "Oh, everybody lives in the log cabin. Everybody has worse flannel. And everybody says, hey.
I consider that for a second, but he told me it couldn't be things I learned on the show.
Yeah, that's right. It had to be something that you brought, like, beforehand. Just because I just wanted, you know, I don't. That's good. Like. Right on.
Yeah, so it looks like it was only the 2010 Olympics. Whatever training facility they had up in Vancouver, it was like one of the best speed skating training facilities. So that's why I'm going there.
Right.
Of course, because it's Canada.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you know, it's cold. That lots of ice.
Yeah. I don't know why more Winter Olympics haven't happened in Canada, but oh well.
I am kind of surprised that now we're talking about this out loud like that.
Well, yeah, it's a population thing, I guess. For my metal fix, let's see, what did I have going on here? First and foremost, Goat Horror came through town last weekend with Vancouver Doom Sludgers Ancients for support. They were supporting their new Vengeful Ascension record, which also came out, I want to say, the day before that show. So it's like the new record comes out and then boom, Goat Horror is in town like the next fucking day.
Nice.
yeah, that was awesome. One of the things that was what I thought was really cool is there's, you know, it's a metal show, so there's always wicked tunes being played in between bands over the PA and all that. But I'm thinking to myself, okay, vocalist Ben Falgost himself must have been being the DJ that night, because for like three songs in a row, it's like Venom's Welcome to Hell, a Merciful Fate song off of Melissa, and then Animal, like Wasp's Animal, Fuck Like a Beast, like three in a row. It's like, oh, wow. This isn't coming out of my stereo. This is in the bar. And it's like, wow, who's the DJ tonight? This is fucking awesome. yeah, so I had a really good time with that. One of the shows that I really dig, and I've been pushing on this show, and I will probably continue to as well, is Heavy Metal Relics. Mm-hmm. Of course, we've had hostess Bridget England on, great weekly video show up on YouTube, and the last couple episodes, oh wow, they were really knocking out of the park. They were talking about bands from Mexico and showing off their records. And one of the records they showed was the debut record from Mortuary, Blackened Images. And now this record, cool, brutal death metal from 1990 out of Mexico. It brought back a lot of memories for me because that was one of the records that was sent to me when I was doing my cut and paste black and white staple together fanzine.
Yeah, the two issues.
Which I really did. Yeah. I didn't even really get the second one done.
Oh,
and I just got bombarded with all of these albums and all that. And one of them was Mortuary's Blackened Images. And so after seeing it on Heavy Metal Relics, it's like, oh man, I had to pull that out just to give it another spin. That was some really cool stuff. And then the following week, Athanar from Midnight, who we've also had on the show, he was a special guest on that, and he was going through all of his collection from the old records from the early 80s from the new wave of British heavy metal. One of the bands he was talking about was showing all these cool old records from Diamond Head.
Mm.
And then that reminded me that, oh yeah, at the end of August, fucking Diamond Head is making its way up here.
That's right.
As well, I said, oh, yeah, I can't wait for that. So that was really awesome. I was cranking the latest EP from Winnipeg, Crusty Grinders, Flash Out, Death Dealer. I could totally recommend that to everyone as well. Solenum out of Winnipeg here, their EP, Judgmental, is now out on Unspeakable Axe Records. All these great Winnipeg bands getting picked up. This is awesome. You know, like Winnipeg is just going through the roof here and all that. So be sure to pick that up. And I listen to a lot of podcasts, but more often than not, they're wrestling or horror podcasts. Don't listen to a lot of music ones because I can be very picky about which ones I listen to. But the Josta show had Kurt Brecht from DRI on recently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I got to check that one out.
Oh, yeah, you do, man. That was an amazing conversation, and I was just glued. I was just glued to my gadget just listening to these two guys talk about everything that went on. And it's like, wow, excellent stuff. That's... podcasting gold there. And of course that takes me back to when like DRI was here just a little while ago and meeting Mr. Brecht myself and all that. Just like, ah, oh, wow. Cool. So yeah, if anyone wants to listen to me gush about DRI, you better go back a couple episodes, go find it. It really marked out. Yeah. And everyone should be marking out. Oh, there
dope,
we go. That's gotta
is,
be.
Is Aaron's. That 3 weeks in a row? It is.
I think so.
My goodness, that's a new record. And you know what? I was just thinking, like, I should have totally bought Corrine a beer when we were in Duffland.
Oh, yeah,
there we are.
But son of a gun, man! Like,
right,
sorry guys, sorry listeners.
Yeah, it happens. We're gonna make it up to our listeners right now because we are going to get into a track from Goat Whore from that awesome Vengeful Ascension record. This is Mankind Will Have No Mercy.
Oh, Dr. Williams Beasley and Associates today. Have you participated in a justifiable homicide? Been the victim of blunt force trauma? How about grotesque impalement? Call Gallagher Williams Beasley and Associates today. Ever been reduced to slavery? At what expense? Have you ever been skull-fucked? If so, call Gallagher Williams Beasley and Associates today. Our firm will go in the trenches and stop at nothing to destroy the opposition and ensure that you, and you only, reign supreme. Vengeance will be unleashed. Gallagher Williams Beasley and Associates, the wrong firm to fuck with.
Gallagher Williams Beasley and Associates, of not attorneys at law.
Mortuary from that Blackened Images record. Good stuff, good stuff. With Sickish Disease. Yeah, go blow the dust off of some classics there, man. That was some awesome stuff. We're going to make some future classics here, especially within the death metal realm with tonight's creature feature. Just hitting the road today as we speak is Bay Area death metalers Necrot. And just before they went out to terrorize the country with your buddies in Undergang Rock, they're out on tour with them. Mm-hmm. Just before they did that, I had to make sure to get them on the horn because their debut official full-length Blood Offerings was released a couple weeks ago from the good folks at Tank Crimes, and it was actually doing quite well within Billboard as well, appearing in the New Artists and on the Hard Rock charts and all that. And it's like, for an independent death metal record this day and age, that's pretty impressive. And just nothing but the best for the band as they go out and terrorize America with their awesome, brutal brand of death metal. So without further ado, I want to introduce a really cool chat I had just the other day with Necrot bassist and vocalist Luca Indrio.
First and foremost, what I want to start with is, of course, the elephant in the living room is Necrot's new, well, I guess it's like your debut full-length, Blood Offering,
yes.
Which, okay, it's kind of escaped me. Has it been officially released as we speak yet?
Yes, it came out on June 9th.
Oh, okay, yeah, so it's kind of already off and running. For anyone that's kind of might be introduced to your band for the first time, you know, maybe you can give the whys and wherefores of who you are and who Necrot is and where you are up to this point and all that. Just kind of in brief bio and an introduction as to who you are.
Right on. Yeah, we started Necrot in 2011. And we started in San Francisco, and it was me at the bass and vocals, and it was Chad Gailey, the current drummer, at the drums. And initially, Kyle House, this guitar player that was playing with me, my other band, Acephalix at the time, was part of the band. But then he left after like a month at the beginning of the band, and so then it was just me and Chad. And we wanted to write and record some death metal, old school death metal punk demos or songs and put them out on tape. And like, so we went and recorded our first tape with two songs, and my friend Lucas was the one in charge of drawing the covers. Basically, the whole idea was to come out with this three tape with three different covers, but if you put the covers, tapes one next to each other, the cover would have shown like a bigger image. So that was the plan. And so me and Chad recorded the first demo where I recorded the guitars too. And then we recorded the second one called Into the Labyrinth. And then at that point, we got a guitar player, which is Sonny Reinhardt. He played for Saviors. He played for Watch and Die. He has been playing music most of his life. He's a 40-year-old dude. And he joined the band. We gave him the tape of Into the Labyrinth. We were putting out our own tapes and selling them here in the Bay. And then we gave him a tape. He really liked it. So he learned the song, joined the band. And we were about to record the final tape. So I pitched him the songs, and we recorded the final tape together, which is called The Abyss. Mm-hmm. And then Scotty from Ten Crimes, which is a local record label, approached us wanting to put out our stuff. So we decided to put out this compilation of all the tapes on vinyl and CD. And our friend Mattia in Sentient Ruin is a record label. He does mostly tapes. He put out another tape with all the demos on it. So that was kind of like our first release, but it was never like it was always thought as a three pieces of the same thing.
Right.
But it was never like, let's write a full length. Like when we did Blood Offerings, it was like, you know, a harder challenge because you have to work on all the songs at once and like write all the lyrics. Yeah, time goes by between you write the first song and the last one before you go record them. So like, you know, the approach of writing a whole album is different. So yeah, it is our first full length for sure.
Right on. Actually, our listeners will be familiar with the compilation album you were talking about, The Labyrinth.
I hope so.
That word properly. Yeah. We actually played that on the show last year, so I'm sure our listeners are excited to have you on tonight. What has the response to Blood Offerings
to the new
been
album?
Like? Yeah. So far, so good. Like, have you had any feedback?
So far, it has been going beyond expectations. We've been getting really good reviews. In the month that our album was reviewed on Decibel, which is like a magazine here, we got 9 out of 10.
And right on.
People liked it. People liked it. I mean, all our friends like it, but like, it don't count.
No, 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 that's you right.
Know,
yeah.
Most people that listen to it, you know, they get it. They get it that, you know, they get what we're doing. Because right. Like, there's a lot of bands out there, and, you know, it's great that people doing music. But like, there is a real, you know, involvement for all of us in the band, and like, it is something really, you know, that we really feel for. And like, you know, people that listen to death metal or certain kinds of death metal, they have an approach to the listen that is like beyond like, oh, let's listen to a song and sing along, or like, you know, it's like there is an involvement with the music.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's cool to be able to transmit that and, you know, make an album that people can feel it. Like,
right,
it definitely, sounds, you know,
yeah.
For us it's beautiful, you know.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And good. And it sounds like this record is coming across with a lot of people. And I gotta say, like, I'm really stoked that it is out on Tank Crimes, because quite frankly, like, that label, the last 18 months, that label has been on fire, not only with this great record that you guys put out, but Ghoul has put out some amazing shit. I'm really digging that band Clitorati as well. There's a great band, Fuck You, Pay Me. I'm really digging that.
Yeah, no, Scotty's awesome.
There's a lot of really good stuff on that label, so you must be just absolutely stoked, like, just to be on this as well.
Oh, no, yeah, definitely. He's, like, you know, he has been treating us great. And, like, we don't necessarily feel that we need to be on a record label full of bands that more similar to our genre. I never felt like that was a necessity to be on a label. It's more about, like, the relationship with that you have with the people that run the label, and, you know, be able to communicate great and, like, know that, like, you know, he's going to put his full effort to make this reach as far as possible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Scott is not, like, someone that goes, like, halfway. If he likes something, he wants to support you, and it feels like he's part of it.
I'm getting that feeling, yeah, because Blood Offering seems to be, like, the priority with the label, just in terms of exposure and them pushing it and, you know, with setting up with doing stuff like this and all that. So, yeah,
I mean, really he listened to it and he saw where we were going with the artwork, and he was like, whoa, like, he was really all about it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Which, that's kind of what I want to get at, and I'm so glad that we're talking right now, because as we speak, tomorrow, you guys are hitting the road with Undergang, I believe?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, and where exactly are you going with that?
Oof, we're going far. We're going to go, I don't know, 20,000 miles.
Wow.
We're doing 30 shows. We're doing the big circle of the United States.
Okay.
We're
going
to play in San Francisco tomorrow night, and then we'll be in Los Angeles, San Diego, and then we hit Phoenix, and then from there we go all the way to Florida, and then we go all the way up, and then we come back from, you know, the Midwest, whatnot.
Okay.
We wanted to come back to Canada, but the Danish guys were a little afraid about coming out of the United States and having to go back in right halfway through the tour, because then if they get denied at all, 15 days of shows goes to shit.
Oh, trust me. We have to deal with that all the time, because I do a lot of interviews with bands, like, at the venue when they come through town. And there's sometimes where I get the message, sorry, Snowy, we're stuck at the border. They're not letting us in. And like, no. Oh,
no. Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I'm glad if you guys can't make it here in person, at least we can chat like this. I really appreciate your time tonight.
Are you guys out in Montreal?
I'm in Winnipeg, smack dab in the middle of the country.
Oh, okay. No way. All right. Actually,
yeah,
no,
which
from
is
there.
It's about a about a 6-hour drive from Minneapolis.
Yeah, I have an Italian friend that she married a Canadian guy from Winnipeg, and she actually lives there.
Okay, cool. cool. So you kind of know where we are.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, good. Map. right on. Yeah, because we're kind of we're what's known as a standalone town, where we're kind of 6 hours away from everyone and all that, and it's really difficult. For bands in the bus.
To come through, yeah. We played in Vancouver 2 or 3 times. We played in Montreal a couple of times.
Yeah, which that's definitely possible.
We went to Victoria last in February.
Awesome. Excellent.
We played a show there.
Yeah, it's just a quick ferry ride across from Vancouver.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. How was Canada treating you? I hope very well, or else I would.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was hoping to come this time around also, but
it's
not gonna happen this time. But you know, when we're on our own, we can easily come to Canada. They made it even easier right now for bands to cross the border with some merch and whatnot.
Hmm. Well, hopefully we see you soon. You kind of made me think, is there much of a difference just in terms of not only the music scene, but just from what you've noticed in your surroundings and all that, is there much a difference between Vancouver and, say, Seattle?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I'm glad to see friends that I have in Vancouver, but I don't feel like I'm in another country.
Ah. I guess maybe it's being on the coast.
I mean,
together.
It's like also, right, being on the coast, you feel like it's definitely still Pacific Northwest. It's got like similar landscape and you know, even the streets can be kind of similar.
Right.
Maybe if you... I don't see much difference. Like, I travel a lot, and the only difference I see is when I go to really places that are different from the Western world.
Right.
So it's like, there is some difference, of course, between Vancouver and Seattle, but it's not like going to Bangkok or, I don't know.
Right. When you do tour more, who would be your ideal tour mate? Like, you know, I'm sure touring with Undergang is going to be great, but is there that one band or maybe one group of bands that, you know, when you first picked up the guitar, your instrument and all that, you just said, oh, I would love to tour with them.
Oh.
They would be ideal.
I'm a big fan of Immolation, but bands that I really was dreaming of playing with when I was little, they were already done or people were already dead even by the time I was little.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, bands that they're still active, you know, I would like to play with, you know, Immolation, Obituary, or, Suffocation.
You know what? I can see that happen. I think Necrot with any one of those bands would be an awesome bill.
Oh yeah, I would love to. Get me on it, man.
Yeah, and I could see once their people see the success of Blood Offerings and how you kicked ass on this tour and all that, I could see them, you know, throwing the idea your way. Would you be ready? I guess so. You're ready, willing, and able.
We're good. I think we're a good horse to bet on, because it's like we're always like, yeah, let's go do that. Oh yeah, let's do this. We're going to tour for a month now, and we're going to go play 35 shows in Europe at the end of September.
Wow.
So like, yeah, we're like, we like doing this. I have a van. We can go on tour. We practice.
Right on, excellent. That's
so, I mean, whatever good will come, we'll be fine. But, like, I'm already happy we get to do it, you know?
Yeah, you're kind of living it now. That's fantastic. That's good to hear. you're from the Bay Area, right? Correct? Or Oakland?
Well, I've been living in Oakland. The band is was formed in San Francisco, but
right.
we moved the practice space to Oakland after a couple of years just because we all live in Oakland.
Okay. But like, are you do you consider yourself, like, you kind of know where I'm going to go with this when no, I me, say the Bay Area?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, sorry?
Where are you going with this?
Oh, okay. I was just going, like, do you consider yourself a Bay Area band, for starters?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, all of us, the drummer is actually from Bay, and I've lived here for 10 years, and Sonny probably, like, 15.
Oh, okay.
The band was formed here. So, as far as geography goes, definitely.
Right on. And, of course, that brings me to the question.
Okay.
You're obviously very familiar about what comes out of the Bay Area and the whole legend of it all.
The Bay Area, the way I see it, is that, like, people like metal and people mm-hmm. like punk.
Right.
So it's like you see it. It's part of the culture of the place, in a way, more than other places. So it's like, I feel like the if you play metal here, people think you're doing a good thing. So you get like, it's a good place for to do it. There is people involved, there's a bunch of bands, people get excited about the stuff that you like, because it's kind of like the taste of the people here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, now we have big problems with gentrification and a bunch of people moving in just for big salaries. So the cities are changing. But, like, I feel like the whole contest where the music comes, the Bay Area, is like, it's always been like a very diverse place, and it's always been like a place that has got interest also, like, in social justice and whatnot. And it is also a place with lots of problems, because there is, like, Oakland is like, there is so many homeless people, and like, there's like, you know, streets full of tents, and it's like, it's embarrassing. No, it's not that it's embarrassing. It's like, you know, it's really sad, but it's like, you know, we should be embarrassed because of the situation, you know, that nobody can give them a place to stay or, you know, help them out. It's like, there is a great group. It's called Punk with Lunch, that they bring food to the homeless people on Sundays here in Oakland. And, like, they organize shows and whatnot just to get the food to buy the food to cook, and then they bring it to the homeless people. And it's like, it's really important, because they created a relationship with these people that often they're like mentally ill. So it's like they won't even accept food unless someone that they know is the one bringing it and whatnot, you know? So it's like they created a relationship with these homeless people, and they bring them food every week, and it's part of the punk community, and like, is part of the scene. We're doing a benefit show for them, you know, in September. But, like, I mean, the Bay Area is like a place where people like metal and punk, and there is a sense of community, but there is also like a rough place where there is lots of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And there is lots of social injustice in a way. Even if people are, you know, overall friendly, there is a big difference here between people with lots of money and people that are like, you know, with nothing.
Right.
Or close to nothing. So, like, I feel it's a good inspiration place where you see the, you know, crude society, and I don't know, it's a good place for to play aggressive music, I guess.
I was gonna say, an environment like that, and what you see with your own eyes, I don't want to say that's good, but it's kind of good for the creative juices, perhaps.
Exactly. I really think it is, because people like to concentrate in music, and like they feel that it's like a is an accepted outlet. You know what I mean? It's not a society, the one in the Bay, where they're like, oh, why don't you get a job instead of go play? You know what I mean? There's lots of cities in the world where, like, you know, if you say that you're a musician, you want to play metal, and they'll tell you, like, what the fuck you want to do? And, like, you know, they'll be like, you know, reality is harsh. Go get a job. Something like that.
Well, yeah, sometimes it's kind of hard.
There's an overall nice respect to music.
Right.
I like that. I mean...
Sorry? Sorry,
I think also, like, I think that the fact that there is a scene... Can you hear me?
I'm here, yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Well, maybe we lost it for a second.
I think so.
I think there is almost a scene for every kind of music here. And, like there is many bands that are really good at what they're doing. And, like, I think that there is, like, these all influence each other. You know what I mean? It's not like a place where, like, oh, there is a big hardcore scene, and that's it. Everybody's doing hardcore. Everybody's doing the same thing, and that's what's big there. Here is, like, you know, there's really good musicians and people playing all kinds of music, and it ends up, like, influencing each other. I feel like even the punk scene and the metal scene, that kind of influence, have an influence on each other here.
Well, that's good. That's good. Do you get some hardcore and punk kids out to Necrochos?
Definitely. I think so.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what definitely. I want to hear.
Lots of Latinos, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And punk kids and hardcore kids. And when it's all ages, you see, like, young people show up.
That's good.
It's fun.
That's good.
Yeah, totally.
No.
I mean, yeah, definitely a mix. Like, you know, especially in the Bay, we have, you know, as many women coming to shows as men.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's definitely good.
You know, overall, I mean, usually it's a little more men, but definitely, like, you know, the women here in the Bay have play a really cool role. They go fucking nuts at shows.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely, you know, not standing back and watching or something. Not that they should.
Right.
Yeah. It's good to see that.
It is, definitely, and that's happening a lot up here. Like, more and more, the ladies are coming out, and, you know, they're not just, you know, girlfriends that are being dragged or whatever. They're into the music, and they're getting into the
absolutely.
Pit, and they're
absolutely.
You know, they're buying the merch, and they could probably, some of the girls probably know a lot more about metal than you and I these days. And
there's many bands here also, like, you know, actually, you know, women playing in the band. It's like, you know, increasing, and it's, like, really cool. Like,
oh, for sure.
You know, because metal can be seen often as, like, a very macho kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. There is that part of it. It's like, but it's really cool that can be incorporated and be, like, you know, it's something for everybody. It's like, you know, the same reason why I do it can be the reason for anybody. It is intense kind of music.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Good. I'm glad to hear all of that. Finally, you're probably kind of very busy tonight as you're about to hit the road, but I do want, you know, maybe you can give our listeners an update, because you're also with the band Vastum.
Yeah.
As well.
Vastum, Tell me.
Sorry?
Yeah, no, finish. Sorry, I interrupted.
Sometimes that happens with interviews over the phones. Yeah, I was just looking for, you know, what's going on with them, like, because you're so busy with Necrot, is Vastum still a thing, and what's going to be happening with them over, say, the next year?
Oh, well, Necrot is the priority. So Vastum maybe suffers a little bit from it, especially when I'm gone for long times. But overall, Vastum is not a band that can be as active as Necro, because all the other members have, like, other priorities. They have other bands and jobs, and the drummer has a son.
Right.
So it's like Vastum will be anyway, like, you know, doing limited things.
Ah.
So we're still, and we just played a show in Denver, and we're going to the East Coast to play a couple of shows in September. So we're definitely still active.
Right on, right on. And I ask this a lot of questions with artists that are in multiple bands. Do you think you can do double duty on a tour? Maybe have Aspen supporting Necrot? Do you think you could do that?
I should, but not for more than like a week. The thing is, every time I play with Necrot, when I'm done, I think that I'm going to die. I don't understand shit for like a half an hour. Just like if on top of that, I got to throw a Vastum show also. Oh, God. With all the crazy drives we got to do.
Okay.
It would have to be like a week tour or something, like the 10 days. I wouldn't do a month playing twice every night. I mean, I could, but I would be pretty miserable by the end of it.
I can just imagine.
Don't do it!
was Undergang from their album Misanthropology. Okay. Because they're from Holland. So all the song titles are unpronounceable to me. But what I picked was the opening track of, like I said, Misanthropology. And it's called Efter Abduktionen.
You did much better than I would have.
Say that real fast at a concert.
Yeah. No,
try chanting that.
Well, hopefully people are, because they are on tour right now with tonight's creature feature, Necrot. And before that was Shadows and Light from Necrot's latest debut. Depends on what you want to call it, as we spoke about in the interview. Blood Offerings, available now on Tank Crimes Records. And since they are on tour, of course, Luca will be selling the record there at the merch. He's a really cool guy. You know, by all means, go up and say hi and buy lots of merch, because this band deserves it. And Tank Crimes is absolutely on fire this year. Like, they really have, like, rock with the Ghoul record is awesome, you know, and the band Clitorati is absolutely tearing it up, and they re-released all those old Spaz records, and I just get a chill when I think about how awesome they're doing now. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
For sure. And actually, Mr. Indirio goes back with me a little while, actually. When I was doing the old War on Music shop, the band Vastum, who we spoke about in the interview, one of their first records, you know, popped up on our shelves, you know, and it's like, oh, what is this? And Vastum. Okay, I haven't really heard this before, but I gave it a spin, you know, brutal American death metal and all that. And so I just kind of picked that record up and kind of, you know, added it to my collection. And then a little while later, you know, I hear about Necrot. And then when I see who's in that band, it's like, dude, no way. Nice. It's another one of those pleasant surprises. That's like 3 weeks in a row on the show now. So, hey, right on. So, yeah, by all means, right now, Necrot, tonight's creature feature, out on tour. Go and check them out.
The Metal News.
Nothing but good news today. And it's been like that for a while. Fortunately, we haven't had to do the make any announcements that we dread doing and all that. But nothing but good news in the majority of... I got the notes here in front of me. It's all some really cool tours and festivals. But before we get into that, you guys read Heavy Metal Magazine? And no, not any magazine that has band interviews or anything, but the erotic science fiction magazine Heavy Metal. Like, Rock, you have to be familiar with it at least.
But it's been years since I've read it.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah. It is.
Wow.
It is. Yeah.
I didn't know it was still going.
It's around. It is. As a matter of fact, be sure to pick up the July issue, number 287, because that particular issue is going to have, I imagine it's going to be an insert of an Iron Maiden comic.
No way.
Yeah. It's going to have its own comic based on the Iron Maiden Legacy of the Beast mobile role-playing game. I don't know exactly what that is. I understand what role-playing is, and I understand what mobile is. I don't know what a mobile role-playing game, but apparently there's an Iron Maiden game. I guess it's a video game you can play on your gadget.
You mean Ed Hunter, that one?
I don't think so. No, it's called Iron Maiden Legacy of the Beast.
Okay.
And that is what this Iron Maiden comic inside that particular issue of Heavy Metal is going to be based on. So if you haven't bought an issue of Heavy Metal in a while, which actually I haven't, I think I'm going to be sniffing that one out. Sounds really good. Yeah, just... And, you know, I imagine at some point it would be an individual, you know, to pop up in the comic shelves as well. Not sure. Speculation. Rock, you would probably know more about that.
I would have to look into it.
No, okay, cool. Cool.
Where would I even find it? I honestly haven't seen anything like it in years.
Heavy Metal.
You can find in comic shops. It would be more of a special order type of thing. You know, if you tell them I want it every month, they could probably order it for you every month. But if you still have magazine newsstands, you know, physical places where you can actually buy magazines, they're specializing in magazines. You can probably find it there.
Yeah. I still have a really cool newsstand here in Winnipeg.
And I'm sure you can probably get a subscription, you know, and get it delivered to your house.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard. It's still a staple, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen this in years. Like, I'm looking up old covers. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, I remember seeing this at the at the grocery store of all places.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One time it was everywhere and all that. Yeah, which that always made me think, okay, are people they're just going to see the cover and then just assume that it's, you know, nothing but Slayer interviews or whatever, when really it's got very little to do with heavy metal, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, still, it's good stuff. I've seen the movies and, you know, I read a lot as a teen myself and all that. Going to be checking it out again. Here's some good news as well. Okay, throughout the month of October and November, okay, cattle decapitation is crossing North America with Revocation Full of Hell and Artificial Brain. Now, October 23rd up here in Winnipeg and November 10th in Orlando. That is a wicked bill. I don't know how much of an interest that either of you guys have, but we've had Revocation on the show. I'm looking forward to Artificial Brain as well. And to get Cattle Decap, like, we should have had him on before, but that's Travis Ryan's band, who is also the mastermind behind Anal Trump as well. So
you and your Anal Trump.
So I'm going to be the guy at ringside screaming for Anal Trump fans. Hey, why not? The Chicago Domination Fest 4 has been announced for July. It's coming up. July 27th, 28th, and 29th. And, of course, Chicago, of course. Featuring Diabolic, Putridity, and Gruesome. Those are the three headlining bands for that weekend, with Embalmer, Mortal Decay, Goratory, Parasitic Ejaculation, Coathanger Abortion, so many great bands. Oh, God.
If you got abortions, you got ejaculations, you've got lots of bodily fluids going on.
They're all over the place, yeah.
Parasitic Ejaculation.
Parasitic Ejaculation. We've played them on the show, man.
Of course.
I think I actually remember that episode, and I had a very similar reaction then. But if you think about it, that's almost like an analogy or a metaphor for you know, somebody getting pregnant in childbirth. You know, because it's like a parasite growing inside you, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh man, you're deep. You're deep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what she said.
You know, I realized what I was saying as I was saying it. I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
You know, if I didn't say it, Snowy would have said it. And I mean, we had to, since Green's not here, because she would have said it before any of us made it that
I'm
far.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. And I believe Green got a real kick out of the first time that I mentioned Coathanger Abortion a couple of years back on the show.
Yep.
Now, did we ever play anything from them? I think
We play so much shit. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, we're approaching year 11, in October. Mm-hmm. That just kind of hit me now. And when I think about all the bands and all that, like, we played in these last 11 years, like, oh my God, no wonder we can't remember anything. Well, finally, and we're going to get to some more tunes here. Even though we just had Maryland Death Fest 2017, just a little while ago, which, of course, I had to rib Crane about not going to it and all that. Maryland Death Fest 2018 has already been announced. The first 25 bands have been announced, May 24th to the 27th in Baltimore, of course, and they've already announced Bloodbath, I Hate God, God Dethroned, Sinister, Worm Rot, Sadistic Intent, Broken Hope, and Dead Infection, amongst a whole whack of others. And yes, whacka is that's an official term now.
Waka, yeah. Waka, waka.
Waka, waka. So that's it.
Whoa,
that's
whoa.
What I've got for whoa. The news. Do you whoa. Have something?
Yes. Yes, okay. I have something. I rarely do, but I do today.
So, okay.
Did you guys hear about the minor controversy surrounding the Jenner bitches, Kylie and Kendall?
God. Oh, okay. Okay, I think...
No, what controversy?
Okay, just a sec. The Jenners, that's that... He had the sex change. The
Yeah, Caitlyn.
The bike rider had the sex change, right?
Yeah, he wasn't a bike rider, was he?
No, he was what a was runner. He was a runner.
He was an
Olympian.
Some athlete.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So anyway, are these his daughters? I guess. I don't know.
I think his adopted daughters or something. But yeah, they're like the Hiltons that really don't do anything. They're just famous for being famous.
They're just famous because of a TV show. So yeah, anyway, they've got a clothing line, and they had to issue an apology today or a couple days ago as we speak disgusting t-shirts featuring Ozzy Osbourne, Metallica, Kiss, The Doors, Pink Floyd, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what happened is they took like classic images like Kiss's Love Gun cover. There's a classic picture of Ozzy. There's a Doors cover that they took, and they slapped you got that image and then their image on top of it. You know, so basically you got the two images, and it's not even pretty. It's not even a good design. But oh my God, the artists themselves were in an uproar because they said nobody got contacted by their people to see if they could even do this and pay for the rights, the royalties for it. Sharon Osbourne tweeted a scathing tweet, man. She wrote, "Girls, you haven't earned the right to put your face with musical icons. Stick to what you know, lip gloss."
Oh, yeah. I would have said the same fucking thing.
Oh, my God. And then this guy, Jeff Jampol, he's the manager of the Doors and the Jim Morrison Estates.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, all right, this is a case of people who fashion themselves as celebrities, who are famous for being well-known but don't actually do anything, just like you just said, trying to utilize and steal and capitalize on the legacies of those who actually did something and created amazing art and messages. He said it's ironic, at the least, and criminal at worst, both morally, ethically, and artistically.
Wow.
And then he said that he got zero contact from the Jenners about doing this. And he said they're obviously attention-seeking missiles who crave celebrity and being well-known but don't actually do anything. It's the polar opposite of the artists that they're trampling all over. It's just spitting in the face on top of art and message and soul and legacy. And the Jenners, I guess, felt the wrath of people and issued an apology. And they said, these designs were not well thought out, and we deeply apologize to anyone that has been upset and or offended, especially to the families of the artists. We are huge fans of their music, and it was not our intention to disrespect these cultural icons in any way.
That t-shirts have been pulled from retail and all images have been removed. We will use this as an opportunity to learn from these mistakes. And again, we are very sorry. So, and not just that, they had also like a Tupac and a Biggie. The other guy that's dead, the other rapper.
Oh, okay. The other guy.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, they also did it with those. And, oh, yeah, man. And I was telling my wife about this today. I said, did you hear about this? She's like, oh, yeah, it was all over the radio.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. It was all over the local radio here. So Jenners, fuck you and stay away from our rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, yeah, they might not have meant any disrespect, but what they meant to do was stroke their own ego, and that's just a vanity project. That's all that is. And I can't imagine, like, who cares? Like, what do these girls do that warrants, like, you as a fan, like, not you guys, but just as a fan, who would call themselves a, what are their names? Jenny and Kylie or whatever?
I don't know. It's Bitch Face and Slut Face Jenner.
Okay. Well, like, I don't know. Would anyone actually say, like, I'm a Bitch Face Jenner fan? Like,
yeah, I'm sure they do. They do, because they're TV stars. They're TV stars, quote unquote.
Wow. Okay.
They're purdy. I guess it's because they're purdy.
If we're done bashing the Jenners, which if anyone should issue an apology, it's Caitlin for what you had wrought on this earth. Shame. Shame. So we're going to educate.
I think those are his adopted children, though, aren't they?
I have no idea. And I don't care.
I don't know. Well, yeah, ultimately.
Her adopted children, however that works.
Because the Kardashians were his kids too, but stepkids, I guess.
Yes, I thought, yeah.
God, he's
yeah.
connected to those things too?
Yes. He was married to their mother. You know, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, God. He was on that show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
America!
I know. All right, so that's enough about the bitch face.
Well, we're going to edumacate the Jenners right now with some real metal. Broken Hope just put out their new Wicked record, Mutilated and Assimilated, and be sure to check them out next year at the Maryland Death Fest. This is the title track from Broken Hope.
We'll be right back.
that cleansed the palate.
Yeah, we needed that.
yeah. Well, my friends, happy Canada Day to both of you. Enjoy the weekend. And I'm so glad that you guys managed to get together and hang out and all that. And I'm counting down the days in which I will be able to join you. But as fun as Universal is, I'm sure once Corrine and I get in each other's presence, oh my God, holy shit.
You know, you just said you're counting down the days to when, but we don't. How can you count down something when you don't know when it's going to happen?
I am. I can do. Have we met? Snowy can do anything. Jeez. but what Snowy is really good at doing is playing some metal, and we're going to go out with a track off the new God Dethroned record, World Ablaze, The Wrong Side of the Wire. Oh, that's an interesting title. Talk to you guys soon enough. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a Necrotin episode of Radioactive Metal. See, that makes sense now, right?
This is Rox.
And this is Aaron, celebrating Canada Day with maple syrup and bacon.
All right on, horns up. Signing off.
iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all the other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to RadioactiveMetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY. Or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Surrounded by the enemy, we hold our ground. Impossible to reach the lights, we hold our ground.